Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So this is the weekend of the World Science Festival. Check out the local listings if you don't know about this, because it's an incredible collection of events for the curious-minded at a whole different variety of venues around New York City and on a whole different variety of science-related topics. And we will give you just a short sneak preview now of what might be one of the most intriguing and already sold-out event called What It Means to Be Human, tomorrow night at the NYU Skirball Center. That'll bring together people from the arts, from philosophy, cell biology, also anthropology, and artificial intelligence. Ray Kurzweil, the artificial intelligence expert, will be on that panel. Joining me right now is another panelist, Sir Paul Nurse, president of Rockefeller University here in New York, a Nobel Prize winner for his contributions to cancer research and cell biology. And Paul Nurse, it's so nice to have you on WNYC. Thank you for doing this with us.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Brian.
You know, I'm struck, though, by kind of the cognitive dissonance of this moment. Here we were planning for 15 minutes ago to let our listeners in on the behind-the-scenes stuff, this kind of abstract discussion of what it means to be human. And on some level, what it means to be human is walking down the street hoping that a crane doesn't fall on your head.
No, that's absolutely right. You can't help but be struck by that sort of comparison. I have to admit I was listening to that and thinking, well, what it is to be human, but also how easy it is to lose your life and stop being human.
Now, you're known mostly for cancer research, and here you are with all these artists and philosophers and futurists on this panel tomorrow night. Does the question of what it means to be human enter your work?
Well, I think this is a very interesting question, because I think traditionally questions like what it means to be human have been in the realm a lot in the humanities. I mean, subjects like history and literature, philosophy and the arts have all contributed and still have much to contribute to understanding what it means to be human. But I think we've seen in the sort of, particularly in the last decades, an increase in how much science can contribute to this question, perhaps particularly two areas of science. One is human genetics, that is, how can our genetic endowment, what we inherit from mum and dad, how can that actually influence what we are and what it means to be human? And the second, I think, is probably neurosciences, understanding better how we think and how our brains work. And this provides a sort of a new way of thinking about what it is to be human. Ed Wilson wrote a book called Consilience, which made this point very eloquently some years ago. And what excites me is exactly this forum of tomorrow evening. How can the humanities work with scientists to get fresh insights into this very, very interesting question of what it means to be human?
Let me follow up on something that you just said, because I think you're very right to observe that science has moved from an era when we thought that software, as one of the other panelists is going to put it, I think, that software was what made us human, that is, our life experience, to one much more focused now on the hardware, genetics, and brain chemistry and neuroscience. So I wonder what the implications of that are for free will, an important part of what it means to be human. If we are our neurobiology rather than our moral choices and our relationships, what does it mean to be human?
Well, you've struck one of the really interesting questions about this debate, and one I was going to raise myself tomorrow, because one part of what makes us human is to have a rational view of the world. That is to have a sense of causality, how one thing leads to a next. If you take that sort of view to perhaps its most extreme form, then what emerges is some form of determinism, just as you've said. That is our behavior determined by our genes and by the chemistry going on in our brains and in our bodies? And if so, then perhaps our behavior is fully predetermined. And then where does free will come in that, which is a second aspect of being human? Two of the aspects of being human, in other words, come almost in conflict. a rational view of the world, which can lead to determinism, and free will, that is, that we have choice. What I think is certainly correct is that we have to behave as if we have free will, by which I mean we have to have a society and laws and rules within that society which does give us free will so we don't constrain people. But I frankly have no solution to that dilemma. Are we really fully determined or not? And I don't have an answer to that one.
Well, I'm not a scientist, but I will posit that we're not, because there are enough experiments in the world, natural experiments or created experiments, where twins were raised in different settings. And yes, there's a lot of publicity about how twins come out the same. But, you know, we know that you take different population. If you take people from very similar demographic populations and give them very different life experiences, you know, one group that may be subject to a lot of child abuse when they're growing up, as opposed to a group that's subject to a lot of love, and positive educational experiences versus negative educational, those populations are going to turn out different.
Oh, yeah, no, there's absolutely no doubt about that. I wasn't arguing about genetic determinism. What I was sort of arguing is that if we are the product of our genes and our environment, just as you've said, and I completely agree with that, you've just said, then do we still have free will in the sense that if we are conditioned by our genes and our experiences, like were we abused or were we loved or whatever, then where does free will come in that? So I don't want to argue mm-hmm. for genetic determinism, mm-hmm. only that a combination of our environmental effects and our genes influence what we are.
Since we only have you for a few minutes, I want to bring up one more topic with relation to what it means to be human that's probably very closely related to your work as a cell biologist and cancer researcher. I have read that cells, hypothetically at least, can live forever, and that some scientists believe that the first immortal generation of human beings may already have been born. Are you in that camp?
No, I'm not in that camp, I have to say. I think that we can, using our scientific knowledge and medical improvements, I think we can improve our lifespan, increase it. I think we can have healthier life. But I think we're talking 10, 15, 20 years, that sort of period, not immortality. So I'm not in that camp. I think that we're still definitely mortal.
You study cancer, a disease primarily of older people. We have wiped out, in this country, almost every disease that kills people when they're young. Do you ever ask yourself, what are the implications if we cure most of the diseases that kill people when they're old?
Well, I think that we have to consider not only keeping people alive, but also keeping them alive in a healthy state. And I think we shouldn't just be thinking of high-tech medical interventions, but actually also just having a healthy lifestyle, because I think that's very, very important and perhaps easier for us to achieve. And so I tend to be rather holistic on this point.
Sir Paul Nurse, president of Rockefeller University here in New York, a Nobel Prize winner for his contributions to cancer research and cell biology. He will be taking part in a panel on what it means to be human at the NYU Skirball Center tomorrow night. That one is sold out, but this is a weekend of amazing events all over town as part of the World Science Festival. Thank you for coming on and previewing this with us a little bit today.
It was good to talk to you, Brian. Hope to see you all at the festival.